Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I am your co-host, Ms. Anna Black, and we want to welcome everybody onto the show. I was just logging in late because I was so busy. I sat down a little late, so I'm still trying to bring up everything on a computer. So I hope my co-hosts are on the line. We have Tamika Mariposa. Are you guys there?
Howdy,
yes,
howdy.
I'm here.
I thought I was all alone.
No, I was actually being quiet so Mari could do the intro. But
yeah, well, there was just too much dead air there. So.
I got your message late. It just now popped up, I promise. My bad.
Uh-oh.
Sure. And so, moving forward, welcome to the show, guys. I am your host, AMBC founder, Tamika Newhouse, and we have Ms. Anna Black, our co-host, and also our co-host, Ms. Mariposa Urbana. Welcome to our December 11th panel discussion. Tonight, I know, is going to be, it's titled The Facebook Arthur. It's a subject I have been wanting to discuss for the longest, and I hope that you ladies can give me lots and lots of opinions on what you guys feel about the marketing tactics that a lot of our colleagues are taking nowadays. But before we jump into tonight's show, let's recap each other's personal lives over the past week and what you've been up to. Mari, what's been going on with you? Tell everybody a little bit, something interesting. Don't be, you know, tell some scoop. If you're getting a fight, if you slept your husband, what's going on?
So far, so good. I haven't really done much other than, like I told you last week, when I got lost in San Antonio, so that was fun, kind of.
Oh, Lord.
It's a big city. I really wanted to move there, but now I'm second-guessing it because that highway is no joke, so I don't think I'm ever do that again. But other than that, it's been good.
Well, you know, I lived in San Antonio for 8 years before coming to Atlanta, and I absolutely, I hated it for 2 years, like 2 or 3 years, because it was new. But I absolutely love it now. Like, I miss it. It's quiet, but it's a big, big city. It's nothing like the Black Hollywood that it is here. So don't be too alarmed by the big highway. As San Antonio is a big city. It's the seventh biggest city in the country. But, I mean, it's so big, but it's so quiet at the same time because it doesn't really have, like, a lot of Black people in it, so you can kind of be, like, in your own little world or whatever, if you want to say. I know I used to walk outside looking a hot mess, you know, because I could in San Francisco. Nobody knew me there. You know, so I love it.
Wow.
I know. I would walk out in my house shoes, in my pajamas, in my rollers, my do-rag.
Oh, no.
You know. Yeah, those were the days. I miss it. Those were the days. Those good old days.
Wow. Well, I take it as you're saying that, saying the Black folks are loud. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, the Black folks are loud.
Trying to say.
No, because you said that it's not a lot of Black people, so it's quiet. So if it was more Black folks there, it wouldn't be so quiet. Is that what you're saying?
True. What I'm saying is all you ain't going to break down like that, you get home. What I'm saying is, you know how, there's more things to do when it's more a reflection of you and your heritage and where you come from. You know, it's more to do. Like, it's more, you know, eateries, it's more like hangout spots, more clubs, you know,
I'm only teasing.
And I mean,
you
know, but it may be somebody maybe thinking that same thing that you're saying. So what I'm saying is, why it's quiet, it's not that much stuff that reflect Black people in San Antonio. So you ain't really got much to do. You know, so
yeah,
if you're like a
true.
Homebody and stuff like that, you know, San Antonio is a perfect city. And I do have faith that one day I will move back to San Antonio. I just don't know when. But I would love to move back because there's nothing there. I'm just that type of person. I'm just off to myself. So I love to be, you know, in San Antonio, I would stay in my house like a week and I wouldn't leave. Like, for like a whole week, I had everything I needed in my house.
All right. Well, we got that cleared up. We got that. I didn't mean it that way. I was just teasing.
Just think of Tamika.
Well, what's going on in G County? I can't even call it G Town. In G County, Grossbeck, Texas.
Is that what they call Grossbeck, G County?
I call it G County because I can't call it G Town. Like, clean, I call it K Town because it's a little town. You know, some things are happening.
Grossbeck,
not so much. Yes. So the highlight of my day is like to see cows trying to get up from the ground.
Wow. <Ooh.
laughs> So I decided I had a epiphany though, riding down that country road with my husband looking at all the cows. I decided that I'm gonna dabble in writing some children's books. Now I think don't nobody take this. Do not take my title. I think my first book is going to be.
Don't say it. Be quiet.
Don't
say it. If I hear it, I'm going to take it.
You know what?
Wow.
I'm not going to say it for thieves like Tamika, but I'm going to write a story about a cow that decides that he wants to leave the country and go into the city and check it out. So I think I'm going to dabble with some children's stories about this country living.
Maybe make the cow like pink spots and white.
Pink spots.
Yeah, make the cow pink spots and white so that when he goes to the city, he stands out. Like, he wants to leave the country because he didn't look like everybody else. He wasn't like everybody. He was different. So he wanted to go to the city. Oh, make him gay. And so
that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. I'm not going to have a gay cow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you would make all the news. Lindbergh, I'm like, who is this author that made a children's book about a gay cow? Girl, you
I would
be
not
rich.
Poison children's mind like that. I would not. I will not.
Oh, come on. Dang. All right.
No,
if anybody
the thing
has,
is,
might not be a book that come out about a gay cow. Oh, I'm going to sue for copyright infringement.
Well, you know it wasn't me. I want my cow to leave the country thinking there's something hot in the city, but he going to end up wanting to go back to the country because the city going to be a little bit too much for his life, you know. So we're just going to get...
Yeah, was a good idea, though, a gay cow. Hmm.
You know what,
I like
nigga?
Him with pink spots. And then he don't walk regular. He walk with a switch. And so when he walks, like a bell sound goes off every time that he walks, like, bling, bling, like that.
I just wonder, who are we going to call him?
Let's call him Bonnie. Let's call him Bonnie.
Bonnie? I thought you were going to say Pinky.
Bonnie.
That's better.
You call him Pinky.
I thought she was going to say call him Peaches since she was going with the gay cow.
Because that's too typical because he got the pink spots. But Bonnie is like maybe his name used to be Bob. And so he changed it to Bonnie when he went to the city.
You know what? We didn't wrote. Look, I only wanted my little children book to be like 20 pages long, nice big bold letters and pretty pictures. Now we got a pink cow with spots. And he gay.
And he's gay. And when he switched, a bell go off. Bing, bing.
Oh,
yeah. That's how you know that we are artists, that we are artists by trade, that's what we are. Dude, we came up with that in like 2 minutes.
See, I came up with this idea just riding down the road seeing so many damn cows. I was like, I know it's you. Cows are the only animal that you see that never have any freedom. They always have to be put somewhere to fence. So I want this cow to break out and go live a little.
That's so, true, too, but cows are too big to run, too. That's why
nice,
when you got like
right,
fat girl, they call like fat girls cows, because can't move too fast.
No, this cow, he going to get out. Whether it's going to be a he or she, I don't know. She's going to go out and try
Bonnie.
To live a little. Then she's going to miss home. So
Bonnie, he.
Yeah, Bonnie.
It's going to be a straight cow.
Thank you, Mariposa. Let's get that out there. Anna Black would not be writing about no homosexual animal.
That makes perfect sense why he wants to leave the country, because he's gay, he has pink spots, and he when he walks, he got a switch and it rings.
It's
perfect.
Let's go back to the
show, people. Oh, my Lord. See, then you got my people trying to sue, talking about now my son thinks he's gay and he wants to wear pink socks and have a belt.
That's why he can make Oprah. Oprah is going to ban you. She's going to say, no one to forever, ever buy your books ever again. People are going to be like, hey, who is this Anna Blake that came out with this book about this gay cat that rings when he switched? I'm telling you, you're going to be on Oprah.
I'm sorry. Okay, moving back on to the show.
Okay, we can go on to the show. My bad.
We can get back to the show because I am not writing about a gay cow in the story.
Okay. I forgot about the panel for a minute, child. I'm for real. Okay. All right, let's go to the hot pick. Go ahead, Ian.
Me?
Hello? Yeah, Ian, introduce our hot pick segment.
Who, me?
Yeah, Ian, go ahead. Introduce our hot pick. Me. Okay, y'all, now we're going to bring up Ms. LaSalle, who's going to be introducing and talking about our hot pick of the week. LaSalle, are you there?
I tell you what, you all are having too much fun tonight.
I'm writing notes, but you're going to tell me to introduce somebody. I'm writing down notes about my cow story.
I know, you were writing that Bonnie, ain't you? She writing that
I got distracted. I was writing notes about my little pink cow.
You keep on writing. Just keep on writing. That's all right.
All right. Well, Ms. LaSalle, that was to you, ma'am.
All right. Well, the hot pick of the week is Alicia Hill Jones, When Two Become One. And it's a story based on a marriage that's built from crumbs. You have Jonas and Shayna Ambrose. One, the sister's gotten herself together, and she has found the Lord. She's in church. But the husband still want a club. He still want a hoe, still want a hoe hop and everything. And so he is very resentful of her newfound religion because his father was a pastor, but a very abusive pastor who didn't live the life that he preached about. So he's just resentful of church, the ministry, everything. So he finds solace in other women, finds solace in drinking, finds solace in partying. So she gets the happy news that she is expecting, but he doesn't want the baby. He wants her to abort it. Even though they're married,
wow,
he wants her to abort the baby. So she separates. She got to deal with a manipulative mother, a crackheaded sister, and then she finds solace, perhaps, in someone in the past, while her husband's finding solace in every hole there is. So this
he
is
get
a
around.
Book. He is getting around. Papa was a Rolling Stone. And in between that, his company that he's trying to get on the ground has some issues. Some people come back to do some bodily harm to him. And all the while, she's trying to find her soul and her soulmate. And I tell you, I met the author about a month ago at a writer's convention, and I told her this was the best book I think I read all year long because at the end, I ain't like anybody. I was fussing. I was arguing. I was like, I know you didn't. And this is a fairly new author, very humble spirit, Alicia Hill Jones, but this is probably the best book I read all year. And I'm a book brat, so I read all the time, but the title of the book is When Two Becomes One. And I tell you, when you read this book, you'll be fussing, you'll be arguing, you'll be like, oh, she is so stupid. I can't believe he did that. I wish that crackhead sister would go somewhere and sit down. I mean, I was just arguing with the characters within this book, but this is the best book I read all year, When Two Becomes One. You can
now, see, that's a good thing. When you have a book that gives you all types of emotions that have you want to throw. People don't understand.
Exactly.
When you have a book that you want to throw across the room, because the characters are getting to you like that, that means a damn good book.
That's a good book.
Right.
And I would find myself putting it down, and I was like, let me see what this fool doing next. Because I know she's, and my husband was like, what's wrong with you? I said, he was like, did you act like these characters are real? I said, well, you know what? This is a good book because I was just mad and angry with everyone. I said, I never read a book that was mad. I didn't even like the heroine. She got on my nerves. At the end, I was like, oh, stupid people. But when you going to write the next one? When you going to write the sequel? No, in the same time, when you going to write the sequel? Just a bunch of stupid people. But you know what? I like it because we all have those people in our family. You know, everyone got crackheads. Some people might want to admit there's a crackhead too in the family. You may have somebody who's manipulative. Everybody wants a dime, a penny, a nickel. People want to play in your sympathy. You have the overzealous person who was holier than thou now, even though they can hear every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the past. So those characters were so real because you know people like that in your everyday walk of life. Well, I do anyway, I'll admit. I know people like that in my everyday walk of life. So, you know, they were real because you saw yourself in different facets of your life or other people in different facets of life doing that same stupid stuff. So I enjoyed the book, When Two Becomes One.
I like that title too. Like I'm putting out on all of our Facebooks, it's in our chat rooms, on Twitter. I put it on Pinterest. Also going to end up putting it on our Facebook page. What made you pick up this book? I know you say you met her at a writer's conference, but if it wasn't for the writer's conference, how would you have known about this book?
Well, actually, I knew about the book probably by, I think I actually read the book sometime this summer. A friend of mine had recommended the book to me, a member of an online book club. And I was like, well, you know, let me check her out. And when I read a synopsis of the book and I read one or two reviews, I said, well, you know what, this is worth my dime. And so I bought the book based on the reviews and based on a friend of mine's recommendation. And I was just shocked because I've never heard this artist before. This is her second book. But I told her that it shouldn't be her last, and everyone should know about her. The book was very well written, very well edited. The plot was very intriguing. The concept was very detailed. She didn't leave any stone unturned, and even the sub-characters and the subplots were very detailed, very intricate, and it made you want to read more and learn more about these characters. and she dealt with some emotional stuff, some emotional baggage that sometimes we carry from relationship to relationship, not even male-female, but could be female-female, brother, siblings, parents. So she dealt with a lot of issues in this one book.
So what would be the age limit or the age bracket you would recommend reading it? 18 and over or anybody? What would you say?
I would say because there is some adultery in the book, I would say 18 and over. Because there are some adult things. It's a faith. I would say it's a faith-based book, but with some adult things.
Right.
Okay. I like adultery in books. I mean, yeah, in books.
just going, man. You just like scandal.
Yeah, that's
the book is scandalous. The book is scandalous, and like I said, once you read it, you be like, oh, my Lord. But, you know, we all at one point in time, we all been stupid, and sometimes we continue to be stupid, you know, in various relationships, and maybe not in male-female relationships, but just relationships within your groups or in your family. And, you know, the book was kind of like a wake-up call, like, you know what? You know, either outside looking in, but sometimes you got to look at yourself. That man in the mirror was staying mighty long and strong.
Right.
That was a very good book.
Wow.
That's what's up. I definitely got to check that out. Like, I just started reading Carl Weber's book, and I haven't read a book in, like, a year. And it's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good. I'm definitely trying to get back into the swing of reading. And I need to put this on my to read list. I love
it. Yeah, it really is. It's the best book I read all year. And I told her that. She was like, oh, I said, no, honey. I said, I read books like, you know, like folks drink water. But I was just like, this book is the best book I read all year long because there was just so many different facets going on. And and it was like a well-sung song. Every verse and lyric complimented one another. And it's hard to do.
Wow.
That's what's up. Right, everyone. Well, Lashelle, let everybody know where they can find you on your social media site and any other information you want people to know.
Oh, Twitter, you can find me at Read You Later on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, Blog Talk Radio, Radio Read You Later. And you can find me on Facebook under Lashelle Lee.
All right. Well, Ms. Lashelle, I appreciate you coming on and letting us know about the hot pick of the week. Make sure that you guys go out and check out that book by Miss Alicia Jones. I want to really check that out. As I said, I put it on our Facebook. I put it on our Twitter. It's on Pinterest. And it's in our chat room. Again, Mr. Sherry, thank you so much. And feel
free
thank
you all.
If you want to chime in later on the panel, definitely let me know. But we're going to go ahead and jump right into it.
Okay.
We don't have... ladies, Mari and Ann, I sent you guys kind of like a layout of what we're going to talk about. Before we do jump into it, let's ask both of you, do you have like your own idea, your perception on how, you know, social media should be conducted as far as when it comes to being an author?
Wow. Mary Post, do you want to go first or shall I?
No, you go first.
My point of view of it is it kind of, it has to be what works for you because some people are not computer. I've run across people that are new authors that's out that say, no, I don't go on a computer that much. And I'm like, if you're not doing a social networking as far as Facebook or Twitter or some of these outlets is online, you have to have a pitch some type of way. So if those are not your outlets, you have to find something that works for you because it's, to me, it's kind of shocking when I come across new people or if I'm talking to them, they ask me, what do I do to sell books? I tell them, you know what, I take advantage of the Facebook. I take advantage of Twitter. I take advantage of all these outlets that I can promote. And they just come back and say, well, I don't have a Twitter account or I don't have a Facebook account. Oh, how are you going to reach people unless you got a lot of money to really invest in sending out bulk postcards or bulk mail to solicit business? So I think it's kind of like whatever works for you. Some people are just Facebook authors where they just promote on Facebook, and if that's what generates your sales, hey, you know, more power to you. But to me, that just doesn't cut it. You have to incorporate a lot of other things, especially traveling and getting out and meeting people and trying to get your face out there more than just your the social networks because – the social network, like I say, it could be 10,000 readers that don't even go on social media like Facebook or Twitter that you might come across just on the street or at an event. So you have to broaden your strategy. You just can't stick to the free things that they offer online for you to actually solicit your work.
I agree. All right, Mary, go ahead and answer the question, the same question.
I really don't think I have an answer for that, being that I'm a newbie. All I know is I try my best to promote on Facebook, Twitter, or wherever else from Craigslist to see who I can find and et cetera. So I don't know. I'm new to this. So tonight I'm mostly listening to the people who know better. So.
Okay, so Mary, I mean, you're coming from a new artist point of view, and Anne, you're coming from a vet point of view, so this is going to be interesting. So I'm going to kind of piggyback off of both of you guys. And not to sit here and say that Sneaky knows everything, because I'm always learning new things as well, because this industry is totally evolving. But before I jump into something I want to read, I want to touch base on, Anne, you just said, if you're a Facebook author and you generate a lot of sales from Facebook, well, more power to you. But there may be people that do not even use Facebook or get on Facebook or even use all these social sites. So I want to touch base on that. This could very well be true. And this is where it separates the career authors from the quick artists that's trying to get a quick buck. You know, you have a lot of artists, not even artists, I would call them writers, that's putting out these quick e-books that's poorly edited, covers are horrible, and they're putting out on these e-books for a quick 99 cents or whatever the case may be so they can make a quick buck. That's what they want to do. It's a hustle. But then you have those natural talents and those natural artists that really know how to write. We were born with the talent. We didn't pretty much develop it or, you know, or work at it to groom this talent. This was something that was in us. And we put out these books, and this is what we do. This is who we are. Recently, what are their names? Recently, powerhouse duo authors Dee Barry and Grant quit. Virginia Dee Barry and Donna Grant, who have been writing and publishing books for over 20 years, we recently walked away from the industry. They wrote a letter, and they put it out in a newsletter, and they sent it out to the entire industry. This is what they said, and I want to highlight this specific part of their letter because it's the whole purpose of what we're talking about tonight. So in their letter, they say, these days, the publishing industry requires authors to do way more work for way less money. Write a book or more a year, tweet, Facebook, blog, tour, Skype, Pinterest, YouTube without ceasing. The Internet and the ease of self-publishing have both been a curse and a blessing. For us, the business of writing has become a grind. To be successful these days, being a good writer is just not enough. You must become a brand, a salesman, a marketer, a publicist, a travel agent, and a friend to all. Great books are written, bestsellers are manufactured. It's exhausting, and at the moment, we do not want to do it anymore. That part of that letter stuck out to me so much. Do you guys have a reply to that, to what I just read?
I do. I can understand because you have these, not even just say the seasoned veterans or like say the Brenda Jacksons or the Carl Webbers. Not even those artists that's been out for a while who has some history and years under their belt. It is a shame that all the work that they've done in the industry that they have to keep competing with these low budget, like you say, underrated and poorly edited books. It's like your book is on there for a price at $9.99 because you have a quality book. You have it's been professionally edited. You have a professional everything done. You go, you know, you put a lot of money and time into getting out a polished product. Do you have some fly by night wannabe author? Not saying all people don't take offense because, and if you are taking offense, you must be one of those people that's barking up the wrong tree. And you come out and you put this so-called book together and you post it for 99 cents and your book is selling like hotcakes when, and it's like, it's tough. It's like, And half the time you got these books that are selling like hotcakes because of the price, and a lot of people are not leaving reviews saying, okay, the book is horribly edited, or warning somebody that this book was not good because of blah, 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 blah. Because you're going to have a handful of people that do like kind of whatever they read. You're going to have, I didn't read books that I thought were not so great that's sitting there with 35s, because you're going to find somebody that's going to like it, because everything ain't for everybody. But it is exhausting when you know that you're putting a lot of time and effort into your product, and your product is a good product, and it's being looked over by the crap that's selling like hotcakes, you say, for like a buck.
I agree. Right. Now, also, you had said that a lot of people are buying books, at, you know, and your book may be selling hotcakes because you have it listed really cheap. And a lot of times people are just clicking and buying. And I've spoken to so many different authors, I mean, not authors, but readers, who may have hundreds of books sitting in their Kindle and they haven't even read it. But
right.
what they did, they went and downloaded it because it was free or it was 99 cents. So when
right.
you start to think about that, are these 99 cents are making these books free? Is that a tactic that's really working?
It's working because you can see the effect of it. The thing is, like you say, you are getting these 99-cent books. What's the value of them, even if they're at a price at a dollar, if they're not being read? If you have a book that's sitting in your Kindle over a year and you haven't gotten to that yet, and you keep buying books and haven't gotten back to that book yet, it's still marked to read. You know, it's like, what's the point? It's like, are you getting the books to read them, or are you getting the books just to have a bigger collection in your Kindle? You know, when you, like, I'm a Goodreads participant. My books are on Goodreads. I have a profile on Goodreads. And I look at Goodreads sometimes. I got people who had my book since 08 saying, mark to read. This is about to be 2013. You ain't read my book in 5 years. I doubt if you're going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, I went through a phase back and when my book first came out that I did have a 99-cent summer on two of my titles. But at that time, it was more so because I was trying to get exposure and get people to reading, getting to know who Anna Black was. Do I want a lifelong career of having a 99-cent book? Hell no. I have a new book that just came out in October. I don't want that book to sell for 99 cents because, A, it's my sixth book. I have five books prior to this. If you haven't read an Anna Black book by now, you will be offended at $6.99. But if you try my books, you'll be okay with paying $6.99. So that's why you have people Ms. Grant that said that they want to quit. If you read my work before, I don't care if my book was $15.99. My books will be well worth that $15.99, and I shouldn't have to compete with crap for 99 cents. I just shouldn't have to compete with that.
You know, also, Donna and Virginia were not self-published. They've always been, you know, traditionally publishing, you know, their books have been out there. And they've been out there way before this whole e-book craze and having to get on the internet. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm not, nothing, it's not threatened, but scared.
Worried, maybe?
What's the word you just said?
Worried a little bit, maybe.
Right. What are you expecting when your book does come out next year? How are you feeling about that?
I'm really, really anxious about that because it really seems like people want to get it. It has to be as cheap as possible for most people. Like, you go in the bookstores, especially, I don't know if it's like that everywhere else, but here there are always a ton of the African-American literature still on the shelf. No one wants to buy it. They'd rather go download it online because it's cheaper. So I don't know. I'm crossing my fingers that everything turns out okay. But it is a little bit nerve-wracking.
Well, I can say I'm not worried. I can say I'm concerned because, you know, like next year, April, my seventh book will hit e-books and hit bookshelves. Do I ever get concerned that, you know, maybe that seven book is going to get looked over if I don't price it at 99 cents? Yes. But I feel like I shouldn't have to put a new release out after I got six, basically 4.5-star reviews. I cannot say that all of my books are 5-star reviews. I have a couple that still sitting at 5-star reviews. But if you know you got a good product, no, I don't want to put my brand new book out especially as the third part to a series, a popular series. I do not want to put it up at 99 cents. I want to price it at $6.99. I want to make $6.99 off of it. I don't want my readers to sit there and just sit on their hands and wait till it drops to 99 cents to give Anna Black Book a try. That is a concern.
Right. I agree. I had a while ago posted about, I had started using that trend Facebook art there on Facebook, you know, because I am known to be outspoken sometimes, and I try to be outspoken without offending anyone, but obviously if you are the one that's offended, it's because you're the one that's doing it.
Right.
So, and I deal with love. You know, I don't maliciously try to hurt anybody's feelings or maliciously try to talk about somebody. I never do that. I just speak truth. So I'm going to ask you ladies to throw out some Facebook Arthur activities, some Facebook Arthur characteristics. What people may ask, what in the world is a Facebook Arthur? So can you ladies throw out some Facebook Arthur characteristics that people should not be doing?
Oh, I can tell you. What, oh, you! I better say, Mary Post, you can start, babe, because I can tell you my main one.
Oh, you go first, because it might be the same ones. I don't know. You go first.
What's the main one?
My main one is don't. I had to literally go in to Facebook and change my my settings. Don't attach my name to your book cover. Don't do it.
Right.
I'm just tagging. Yeah, that's number one.
Do not tag my name to your cover because I have enough to sell my own books. I don't need my name on your book. Don't do it. If I do have author friends I associate, I email with, or we're cool, we might piggyback, we'll ask each other questions, things like that. Those people, I will still ask, can I attach my name or can I post this on your page? Don't attach my that really irks me that I have to go remove my name because I have all these emails. You've been tagged in this. You've been tagged in this. You've been tagged in this. I go, I'm being tagged in some cover of a author I ain't never even heard of. I'm like, why is my name attached to your book?
Right.
That irks me. That's one of the things that I don't like. And half of people mm-hmm. I don't know you. Don't put my name on your book. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't use my name to promote your work. I work hard to promote myself. You should do the same. Don't attach my name because I would love to attach Brenda Jackson or Toni Morrison.
I know that's right.
Or Honey Bee, mm-hmm. all the big ones. I would love just to attach their name so somebody can see my book on their page because they're the heavy hitters. But I, with all due respect, that's wrong.
I agree. Mary, what's your number one?
I really, really, really do not like overly ghetto people posting on Facebook. Like, 1 second, the author will be, like, trying to sound all holier than thou. Then the next 5 seconds, say somebody's like, well, I really didn't like your book. You could maybe get an editor or something like that. And people just trying to give them generally nice feedback. Then all of a sudden, they're the bat from hell cursing them out, telling you, I don't give a F what you think, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, ooh, no. Mm. That's what I don't like.
That's a good way.
You tell us what your pet peeve is. What is something that you don't like about these artists on Facebook?
What I don't like is you have all these groups, a whole bunch of groups, and then you have all of a sudden in 30 seconds you will have 12 to 15 notifications because that author has posted in all 12 of those groups within 30 seconds, and they do it every single day. And I'm like, why? It has to be a purpose to you posting the same message every single day in all these groups. What is your purpose? Like, I don't get it. Is that really effective for you? I hate it. It's my pet peeve. And I'm like, do you have anything else that you can do? And another one is I don't like for this to be your only internet appearance. People shouldn't have to go to Facebook to find out who you are. You should have your own blog or your own website. This should not be your main source of where people go and find out more information about you. How are you creating your brand and building up your followership if you don't have some type of presence on the internet besides of Facebook? That is a pet peeve of mine.
People that know, that's out there listening that know, say me, I can just speak for myself. I don't have time to be online to 4 o'clock in the morning constantly posting my book. It's days like today. I was busy all day. I didn't even have a chance to even touch Facebook. I have a selective few of groups that I do use to plug something for my books, but those are the only ones I kind of use. And normally, I'll be honest with you, just like Sharon's page, B-R-A-B, I always email her or send her something to her inbox, can you post this on your group page? I don't just take it upon myself to promote on her page, even though I know it's a reader's page, I know it's a group, I still give her the courtesy to allow her to post it. On AAMBC, of course, I post something. On Delphina, I post something because that's my home. Those are books that, I mean, those are pages that I'm entitled to. But I don't take it upon myself to post on other people pages. I post on relative pages. I don't give a damn if they get mad. But I'm just not going to randomly post on Mariposa's page or just pick one of my Facebook friends and start blasting my book on. I don't do that, and I don't like for people to do it to me. I don't want to check my pending post, and it'd be like five or six pending posts with somebody trying to put their book on my page. I'm not going to post your book. If I do post somebody's book, it's because I read it. I thought the book was good. I'm going to post and say I read this book. Go out and try this book. But do not attack. Don't try to post anything on my page about your book, because my page is for me and my books.
Why are you posting your book on another artist's page? This is kind of like Arthur social media 101. Other authors are not your buyers. So I don't even understand why you're even posting on their page.
But they do that because, like this, so I know Tamika Newhouse is a popular author. A lot of people, Tamika has a lot of followers. Tamika has a good fan base. If I post my book on her page, her people are going to see it and may be tempted to buy my book. That's why they do that. Don't use me as your publicity. It's not fair. Like I said, I wish I can post my stuff on Terry McMillan's page, but I cannot. You know, I wish I can post my stuff on Tyler Perry's page, but I cannot. So don't think that don't do it to me. It's just like you say, it's just common courtesy. Don't do that. That's rude.
It is. Another pet peeve of mine when it comes to Facebook is when all of a sudden in your inbox you are tagged in a message with like 50 other folks, and then all of a sudden everybody's replying, please untag me, I don't want this message. So you have like 20 or 30 messages of people saying, I don't want this message, but everybody's replying saying, I don't want this message.
I know, and it would drain your cell phone because you get alerts.
Like, what is that?
Cell phone battery.
I hate that with a passion. I hate that. So we listed out a couple stuff that is totally off when it comes to Facebook. So let me name out some things that you should know. And then also, ladies, I know I sent you guys the link, so I'm going to also have you guys say some of this information too as well. But you need to pretty much know who, what, where, how. You need to know who are your customers, what are their needs and their desires, where do they live, do they read your genre, how much time do you need to commit to managing your social media, how do you search for a niche network, how do you monitor and protect your online image, are you sociable on your network, and how do you promote your book without spamming?
Right.
Oh, I just said like a mouthful. It's like we can go on and on and on and on. So as I just briefly stated, don't post your link on other artists' pages because obviously they're not your customer. You need to know who your target market is. Everyone is not your customer. That's what you need to learn, number one. Everyone is not your customer. So you have artists come out and say, I want everybody to buy my book. That's not realistic. Everybody's not going to buy your book. Everybody doesn't read what you write. So you need to know and narrow down your target. And you need to narrow down, you know, who's going to read your book, who likes your genre, where they go, where do they go to find out about their books, things like that. You need to research and find it out pretty much for your genre. When you're managing your social media, it needs not to be all over the place. Have yourself, like, kind of have an outline, have it set what you're going to post today or post this week. You can even schedule your post. You don't even have to be online to do your posts and things like that. So, I mean, it's pretty much, it's a science to it. you have to become a publicist, pretty much. You have to become a social media manager. Yeah, people get paid to be social media managers these days. Like, President Barack Obama has a social media manager. Like, a lot of celebrities have social media managers, meaning they don't even manage their own social site. Yeah, they have other people that do posting and things for them. Because you, more like you don't have that in your budget, then you have to do that and maintain it yourself. Do you guys have some advice on how people can maintain their social media sites without feeling overwhelmed?
Well, with me, I say it's hard. I put a lot of stuff on my kid because I feed her. So a lot of times I need something tweeted, a lot of times I need something posted, I tell her to go post it because a lot of times it's not me. I have a full-time job. I'm telling you, when I work, I'm working like 80 to 90 hours a week, you guys, with my new job. I have a husband. I still write. I'm still a mother. I have a lot of things going on, and that's including trips to the grocery store and trips to Sam's. I got to go all the way to Waco. Waco is 50 miles away from me, people, so I don't have time sometimes to sit at my computer, or I can't drive and text and all this stuff. So a lot of times I just give my daughter a list and say, text this for me or tweet this for me. If you can't afford a social manager, find somebody that does free labor, especially your teens. I use mine. she's online anyway, so I'm not, you know, taking anything from her. She's just going to pause what she's doing and tweet something for me. But and you have to be careful when you say you have to use discretion on your social medias. You know, I'm not going to say that I air a lot of things that I see. I'm here to promote my book. I'm here to network. Every now and again, I might post something personal, but I don't come online posting that I'm mad at my husband, I kicked his ass out. Or, you know, sometimes some things is not our business. It's like, you know, this is a social network. We don't need to know that your cat died. You know, some things is just right. Too much. You know, either you're here to have a personal page or you're here to have a social page. I joke around sometimes on Facebook when something funny happens, but when it comes to something personal, I really don't even like to post when I have a death in my family because it's personal. I really don't, you know, I understand people's going to give me condolences, but sometimes I don't need that. Let people know that I'm grieving about something. So sometimes you got to pick and choose what you need to post on Facebook and what you shouldn't post on Facebook, because some things are just tacky. Some things are just raunchy. Some people just post some of the wrong things.
Right.
I agree. And people need to understand that you are you're pretty much a brand, so you have to pretty much – okay, I use this as an example all the time. You know the brand of Beyonce and you know the brand of Rihanna. So say, for instance, a quote was put out there and they ask you, which one of these ladies said this particular quote? Based off of how Rihanna and Beyonce dress, think, dance, the music they put out, the comments that they say, things like that, you will know which one of these chicks said this particular quote. And this also goes into reference to you being an author as well. You have to look at yourself as an artist because that's what we are. We're just like musicians and we're just like actors. But we're just an artist of the literary arts. Like, we're just not advertised on TV and radio and things of that nature, but we have to act the same way. So I want to kind of piggyback on that. I'm going to turn it over to Mari. It's like, I'm wanting her to read this next part that I want to base on.
Oh, you want me to read the whole thing?
Yes, or you can summarize it.
Okay, so I'm looking at
Mary
Paul,
you're new. Wait, you're new. You're a virgin to the radio world. I see.
I really am. Yeah. I thought she meant read it, and then so I could get what y'all two were talking about. I don't know if you want me to read it out loud.
Oh goodness, whoa, Lord! I'm just messing, Mari. Go ahead, baby.
Okay.
You want me to read the whole thing?
I did not know that you wanted me to. I thought you were telling me read it so I could catch up with y'all, because I'm over here trying to take my notes and everything. Like, wait a minute. Okay. Now, getting back to Ms. Tamika's post, and I lost my page. Uh-oh. Okay. How does an author know what networks to promote on and which to be sociable? Ms. Tamika believes that one thing authors must know is that we are entertainers too, like she just said. Our readers want to get to know us personally as they would a movie star, like you just said. So pretty much, wait, didn't you just say all this? Or am I lost?
You probably lost.
I'm reading what you... I could have told you you just said this, but okay. Basically, you can do things like posting trivia on your books and let the followers get to know you, offer contests and giveaways, and those are, like, different marketing techniques that you can use to get your name and your book out there. I believe I'm on the right track with it.
Yes, you are. You're on the right track.
That was the end of that, so.
All right, Ms. And read, let's go on to the next phase of finding your social media tools and things that you can use. Some people don't even know about these different sites, so I'm about to, while you're talking, I'm going to go ahead and copy and paste these links and put them out there for people who are don't even have, never even heard of them.
Well, the popular one is definitely Hootsuite. Hootsuite, it lets you attach a couple different social sites where you can post and then post to all instead of you have to go to Twitter, go to Facebook, go to this, go to that. You can add a couple different networks and you can post the same post and it'll hit all your pages. We have another one called Nutshell Mail. This takes copies of your latest updates and your social networking accounts and then places them in snapshots in a snapshot email. Updates are sent to your primary email address on your schedule, so you can kind of control, like, the peak, like if you want to go out at noon or once again at 2, you can kind of control when it's going out. There's another called Crowd Booster. This social media suggests tools to help you improve your online presence. Like, it gives you information or tips on how to present yourself online. And lastly, we have a site called Zeit. It's free, personalized magazine that automatically helps you learn what likes and get smarter. Wait, hold on. A free personalized magazine that automatically learns you what likes and gets smarter every day to you. Wait, I'm kind of confused. Anyway.
I don't get this one. I'm lost.
Yeah, I don't get that one either. I never use Zeit, so I don't know too much about that one. I've tried the Hootsuite in a nutshell, but Zeit is a new one to me, you guys. So I'm learning something new. I'm learning something new. That was a new one for me.
So, in other words, these are different tools that you can use to keep yourself organized because social media obviously is like another job and you don't want to feel overwhelmed and also you don't want to take away from the actual craft of writing your book. One thing I hate that I have to do is write my book and promote it at the same time. I hate that. I wish I had a stack of books already written and I could just focus on publishing them and just promoting them. So if you don't have that luxury, these different tools can help you out. I'm putting them out there in our chat room, and also I'm going to tweet them out as well. So if you follow us at AAM Book Club on Twitter, you're going to get all this information. Networks that you can use that you may or may have not heard of are Tumblr. Tumblr to me is like, how can you explain that? Tumblr is like a blog and Twitter put together, I guess. Do y'all have a Tumblr?
I don't have a Tumblr. My daughter just got her Tumblr privilege taken away because it was a bad, bad activity going on to her.
I got her Facebook taken away one time. Now she got the Tumblr.
Girl, yeah. You don't know, girl, when you see Miss Tyra again, you're going to want to smack her face.
But Tyra getting grown now.
She's like 5 seconds away of losing her teeth, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, my daughter is, as Tamika knows, Tyra is a very bright girl, but she's really, really naive. Like, she's not one of them street smart people, so she's easily influenced. So she kind of, like, follows the leader. She's not a leader. She's a follower. And she let people get her in so much trouble.
Wow, that's horrible.
Dang, yeah, Mama's telling all her dirty laundry on the air right now.
Yes, I am. I hope she listens to it to get to know to get herself together. Because her friends ain't going to be around when she get taken down.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to have to look forward to that in about 4 years because Miss Deja is 10. So I'm going to be needing some advice from you after a while. So our site, of course, it's Facebook, as we've always, which is the most popular social media site out there. You got Pinterest, which is like a board of different things of interest that you put up, and you use like a little pin board. I don't necessarily promote on there. I just kind of show my personality on Pinterest. You have MySpace, which people really use. You have Twitter, which I really, really love. You have Instagram, which is the most popular, the newest popular trend right now. It's like you're promoting yourself and people are getting to know you only through pictures. That's pretty much the main way for you to communicate with your followers. Then you have Google Hangout. You have LinkedIn, which is a more professional site. You have Meetup.com, which I really use to find all sorts of different groups to meet up with and socialize with and promote my books to. And you have Neem.com, which is another social networking site. AMBC even used to have a Neem, like back in like 2010. I think that's when we got rid of our Neem site. But as you see, I listed several different networks. Each network is built and is set up different for a different purpose. So that means, obviously, that these networks are going to be not using them the same way. Every single one of these networks, you should be using them in a different way. None of them should be the same. And then also, last but not least, keep tabs with what's being placed with yourself out there on the Internet. Do you know how to monitor and protect your online image? The best way about keeping tabs of what's being posted about you on the Internet is by using Google Alerts. You can go to google.com/alerts, and you can type in anything that you want to keep updated on. I keep updates on my name, AMBC, Delphine, and also some of my authors. Hint, hint, hint. You guys pay attention. So anytime anything is out there on the Internet, I get a direct email from Google letting me know there's a new website, a new post, a new something on the Internet about this particular topic. So this is how you can monitor and protect your online image and see if anyone's seeing anything positive or negative about yourself. And I'm also going to put that out there as well. So pretty much we kind of gave you guys an idea on when it comes to social media and marketing, things like that. We want to encourage you guys not to be Facebook authors, to not just be social media authors. Definitely be creative and branch out. Promote yourself on various different blogs, specifically ones that are not even geared towards literature. Like, try to expand your horizons and go further with it so that you can stand out. You don't want to follow the pack. You want to be ahead of the pack. Do you ladies have any other advice or anything else that you ladies want to say?
I do. Anna Black does. This is for the listeners out there that are not authors, but they're participants on these social networks when they may feel some ways about some of the things that's going on with the posts that they're getting or the things that they're seeing that they don't like with authors, you know, because I had a couple of people say that a lot of authors are pushy on Facebook and they don't like that. I just want to tell you guys to be honest. If we're trying to point out not the bad people to make them look bad, because it's not what we want to do, but give readers warning if you did get a book for 99 cents that wasn't worth 99 cents, even still, if it's poor editing or written lousy, post it so people can know that this book is not worth buying. Also, when you are, keep in mind, too, when you're reading something that's 99 cents, even if it's a great book, take time to leave a review so other people can get an idea of what they're getting into. So we can separate the good from the bad so people can be alerted and not just, like you say, clicking and buying. They can really see that, you know what, it ain't no point in even buying this 99 cent book because all these people have said something bad about it, or, okay, this book is 99 cent, but it seems like it's a good book. So try to leave reviews also to let buyers beware of what they're getting themselves into.
I agree.
And I think that's all I have to say.
I agree. That was pretty good. That's coming from like the outsider's point of view. It would be cool if we could have got some people who are just readers or just people, you know, those onlookers, to call in and give their advice or let artists know exactly what they're doing wrong. Maybe sometime in the future when we do something else on marketing, we can have someone come on and give their advice on that, because we're kind of biased because we are authors. So
right.
Our opinions won't, you know, it's good to get somebody's opinion who's not in the industry. So we'll probably touch base on that later on. Before we close out tonight, is there any Delphi news, Mari, that we need to go over?
I believe there is. Let me see. Oh, The Left Lane by Keith is now out on paperback, so go check that out. And also, Kisses Don't Lie, Part 2 by you, Miss Tamika Newhouse, will be out on the 24th,
oh, right.
Which is Eve. Say what?
I said, oh, yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that. I do have a book on it.
You do not forget. But okay, we'll go with that. And also, congrats
oh, yeah,
to you and.
This is my phone.
Wait, is someone else talking? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I have to leave the phone.
And lastly, congrats to you both on dominating the mid December bestsellers list. So you're making
oh,
us all
right?
work extra hard. Are you? I don't think you forgot, but we'll go with that because. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to act like that just for right now. We're going to act like it. Any other Delphi news?
If you live in the Maryland area, Ms. Tamara Matthews will be at the Cartel Cafe and bookstore signing her copies of Lies Unleashed on the 15th. So if you live around there, don't miss out. And I think that is, I believe that's all that I have, unless I missed something.
And I am picking out some information now for on Delphi Publication News. And now let's go over to AANBC News. Our current Books of the Month is by GPA, The Greatest Poet Alive. If you go to aambookclub.com, you'll be able to see all the books that we are reading. GPA is our Book of the Month throughout December as well as, yeah, just throughout December. Let me go to Book of the Month. If you go click on the Book of the Month link, his profile is the very first one. We're reading his book titled The Mind of and a Poetic Unsub. We're also going to be starting reading a new Book of the Month as well by Keith Walker on the 15th of this month. But, again, we are still also tapping into Sherry Way's book, Feel Good Spaces. We're also highlighting and promoting these books in our winter virtual book tours, books by Ms. Anna Black for Split Image and also by Ms. Stacey Covington Lee for her book, The Knife in My Back. We are also looking at the book by Rick and Chris Strickland, The Deep Confessions of a Faithful Man. So if you go to aambookclub.com and click on winter virtual book tours, you'll be able to see those profiles as well. And please go and watch our video commercial, which is on the website on the right side, and click and share our video commercial so people can see what books that we're reading and what shows we're going to be having on the show as on the radio show as well. In addition, also, we're going to be having, next month on AMBC Radio, we're going to be ending out our December shows with our Book of the Years. We're going to be highlighting. It's going to be our very last show of the year. And we're going to be announcing our Book of the Year winner. Also next month, we're going to be gearing up to start our ABC Literary Awards nominations. We're going to be doing a nominee process on that very, very soon. And also on the radio show here on ABC, we're going to be interviewing Carl Weber as well as Kimberly Lawson Roby. Excited about that. Let's see, what other news do we have? We want to say that's it. Please go on our website and read the current interviews and things that we have out under Lit-ish and check to see if there's any events and things that's going on. So, again, that's our website at aambookclub.com. I believe that's it. And, Mari, anything else you ladies want to say?
No, ma'am. Good night.
All right, y'all. I will see you all back here on next Tuesday when we discuss our Books of the Year. You ladies have a great week. Be blessed and stay warm.
The moment I saw you, I was not on my mind.
We can fly all night.